This morning to see you here, and if you're visiting, we want to welcome you for being part of this Back to Church Sunday, Family Sunday. It's great to have my daughter here this morning. She is visiting from Barrie. This is my daughter that's making me a grandfather. So, why don't you stand up so they can see you there? Oh, yes, I know, embarrass you. Yes, yes. She'll make me pay for that later, I'm sure. But that's a grandfather's privilege. There you go. So it's very appropriate this morning that I tell a story about my children, as I didn't know till last night that she was going to be here this morning. When the kids were younger, they were, as kids are, we have three children, two boys and a girl. And as they can be, they were being a little rambunctious. They weren't listening to us. They weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. They were, you know, frustrating us a little bit. And the literal translation for that is they were driving us crazy. And so it was a Saturday, so we're just trying to figure out what to do. So he said, now, if you clean your rooms and you stop fighting with each other, I'll take you for ice cream later. And so they went away, they cleaned the rooms, and they weren't fighting, and we had supper, and everything was good. And after supper, we got all cleaned up, and Chris and I were sitting down and finally relaxing at the end of the day and just, oh, enjoying that peace. And then all of a sudden, the kids came up and said, hey, Dad, can we go for ice cream? And I was really enjoying that comfy chair. And so I said, no, not today, guys. We'll go tomorrow. And then Michaela did it. But Dad, you promised. And I got up out of my chair and took the kids for ice cream. Why? Because I promised. See, God promised the children of Israel that they would go into a beautiful and spacious land. Where they come from, they had been over 400 years of slavery, and they've been walking through deserts and all kinds of things, but they had been promised this wonderful land that they would be going into. They had traveled a long ways. They had gone a great distance. In many years, they had done this. They finally arrived at the edge of the promised land. There was one problem. There was a river that had separated them from their side and the promised land. And this was no ordinary creek. This is not like the Grand River right now, where if you tried to walk across this, you'd hardly get your ankles wet. It is so low right now. But this was a river at flood stage. You couldn't get across this river. If you tried to take a boat across it, you would just get washed downstream. If you tried to swim with a life jacket on, you wouldn't make it. There is no way to cross this river. So here they are. They get there at the edge of the river, right to get the promised land, and they got bad timing. They should have went during the drought, not during the rains. But does God ever have bad timing? God never has bad timing. It says in Joshua chapter 3, verse 8, God said, tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. God promised him that he would part the water, but he said, first, I want you to go and stand in the river. Sometimes God in our life says, I'm going to bring an answer to your prayer. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to take care of it. But first, I want you to step out in faith and go and stand in the water. I want you to get your feet wet. I want you to realize that this is not a figment of your imagination, that this water is just not a mirage, that you're just dreaming this, but this is real. Sometimes he gets you out there and he gets you to stand in the middle of your problem. Stand in the middle of your situation and to feel what it's like before he brings you to the other side. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. I would like us to say that together. We live by faith, not by sight. Let's say it again. We live by faith, not by sight. One more time. We live by faith, not by sight. Do you believe that? Okay, next verse. No, we live by faith, not by sight. The children of Israel went out and the priest stood in the water. Sight said, we ain't going to make it across. Faith said, it's just going to be a minute. It's just going to be a minute, and we're going to make it to the other side. Faith is trusting without understanding. It's going without knowing. It's believing without seeing. When you follow Jesus, and you're going into those deeper places, not just staying on the surface with your relationship with him and your walk with him, but you're going to see deeper. You're becoming and being a disciple of Jesus. He's going to take you to places that are going to stretch you into where you need faith to do it. So, what do I mean? Maybe he's asking you to go on a missions trip. Maybe he's asking you not to go around the world, but maybe he's asking you to go across the street to talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Maybe he's asking you to invite them to church. Maybe he's asking you to stand up and you know there's a coworker at your job or a friend at your school that's going through a hard time, and he wants you to pray for them because he wants to do a miracle in their life, but he wants them to know it's him that did it. See, he's wanting you to step out of where you are. And not just to be the way you've always been and live the way you've always lived. He doesn't want you to be the same. The same way you've always been. What are we doing in our life that requires faith? Just give a minute to think about it. What are we doing in our life that requires faith? If we can't think of something, that may be a problem. Are we really walking out what God wants us in our life? God parted the River Jordan. It's great. That's a great story. It gives you specific things that he did and the specific places that the water piled up and was stored at one end. You got to read this story. It's a great story. So he parted the waters, and they walked across, and they got across, and God did a miracle, and everybody's happy and excited, and it's wonderful. They're walking through, and finally they get to enter the promised land, and they barely get into the promised land, and they face their first problem. What's their first problem? They run into a wall. They run into a mighty city, a place called Jericho that has an army. Just so you know, just because you're following Jesus doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy in your life. Just so you know, in case you haven't faced that already. Hannah, I'd like you to come up and do that story for us with the kids. Yeah, all the kids, come on up. We've got a story for you.
Yeah, if you're a child or if you like listening to stories cross-legged on the floor, you can come on up and listen to this story that we're going to tell. We're going to have a little story time here. It's kind of fun. Come on, I know more of you want to come in here. Yeah, I know. I know more of you want to come and hear it. It's going to be pretty good. Pastor Taylor's ready. He has to hold the microphone, though. He doesn't have the most fun job. Come on, run! Quick! Oh, somebody brought a unicorn. Hi. All right. I'm going to sit down with you. For those of you who aren't on the floor with us, we're going to have the story up here, so you could still feel like you're a part of the story. But I'm going to sit down with my friends here and tell the story. So, okay, here you go. Welcome, guys. How are you? Are you good? Okay, I'm going to tell you guys a story. Some of you who are in one of our classes downstairs might have heard this story before. This right here is Hal. He's one of our friends that we hear a lot of stories from. Hal the Hedgehog. He's a hedgehog. Have you ever seen a hedgehog before? Yeah. Are they prickly? Yeah. Are they prickly? Are they prickly? I've always wondered if they were soft or prickly. They're prickly. Okay, that clears that up. Okay, cool. All right, I'm going to tell you this story, and this story is called Hal and the Very Long Race. Sound good? Have you ever had a race with your friends? Yeah, did you win? Yeah? Everybody said yes. I don't know about that. All right, ready for our story? Parents, if you want to come with your children to hear the story too, that's totally fine. Yes. One morning, that's not going to work. One morning, Hal came out of his hedgehog hole, and he stretched his arms as far as they could reach into the fresh air. Can you stretch your arms out for me? Older kids, I'm usually with the preschoolers, so you're going to have to work with me. You just kind of stretch your arms out really far. It's cool. It's the cool thing to do. What a beautiful day, he thought. I wonder what my friends are doing. He decided to go out and look for them. Hal came to the top of the hill, and he saw Ava, Rufus, Joe, and Yuri. Good morning, Hal, Ava called. I was just telling the others about my idea for something fun to do. Oh, it's the best, most wonderful idea ever. What is it, Ava? Hal asked. A picnic? Hide and seek? Skipping rocks in the stream? Even better, Ava said. We're going to have a race from here to the tree on the other side of the hill.
Sounds like a long race.
Hal's stomach felt like it had dropped to his toes. This was not good news. My legs are so short, Hal thought. I can't go as fast as the others. I'm going to lose, and everyone will laugh at me.
Poor Hal.
Hal didn't want to be alone. He wanted to spend time with his friends, and that meant running the race. What do you say, Hal? Ava asked. Will you race with us? Okay, Hal said. I guess. Yuri flew away with a ribbon for the finish line in her beak. Ava, Hal, Joe, and Rufus lined up for the race. Okay, Ava said, on your marks, get set, go!
They're running.
Ava, Joe, and Rufus burst forward. Ava and Joe bounded up the hill. Rufus's legs moved so quickly they turned into a blur. Hal ran as quickly as he could, but his legs couldn't carry him fast enough. By the time he was halfway up the hill, his friends were already on the other side. Oh no, Hal thought. This is just what I thought would happen. Hal stopped and thought about what to do. Maybe I can run a little bit faster. I'll still lose, but maybe if I don't lose so badly, my friends won't laugh at me. Hal pushed himself as fast as his legs would carry him. He ran faster than he ever had before, faster than he ever thought he could. Then he ran a little bit faster than that. Finally, he got to the top of the hill, only to find that Ava, Joe, and Rufus were almost at the finish line. Hal wanted to disappear. He wanted to hide. So he did what he always did when he felt embarrassed. He curled up into a ball. As he tucked himself up tight, he said a prayer to make himself feel better. Dear God, I'm not good at doing some things. Please help me to be proud of the things that I am good at. Amen. While his eyes were still closed, Hal felt himself start to roll down the hill. He rolled faster and faster and faster. Hal rolled so fast he couldn't see anything, but he heard Yuri's voice clear and loud. Hal! Hal is fast! Go, Hal, go! Hal rolled to the bottom of the hill. When he came to the top, he uncurled and he shook his head. He came to a stop. He felt dizzy. His friends all ran toward him. Hal, Ava yelled, you were so fast. What happened? Hal asked. You came in second, Ava said. I was first, but Joe and Rufus were slowing down because they were tired, and you rolled right past them. Hal could hardly believe it. He didn't embarrass himself. He did the best that he could, and that was enough. I didn't know you could do that, Hal, Ava said. Hal stood straight and tall as his little legs could make him. I might not be very good at running, but I am great at rolling. The end. Yay! We're going to stay right here because Pastor Paul has something really fun for us to do in a couple minutes, okay?
Sometimes what looks impossible for us to do because we don't think we're tall enough. We don't think we're strong enough, smart enough, not talented enough. Our legs are too short. I tell Chris, my wife, I said, honey, you're not short. You're just vertically challenged. We may think we can't do it. We are right, and we can't make it happen. In fact, we can't do it alone. And you're right, you can't do it alone. And you know, the reality is, you're not supposed to be doing it on your own. It says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Have you got a mountain too high? Have you got a valley too wide to cross? Have you got a race too far to run, or a problem too big to solve that you just can't do it? No big deal. God is the God of the impossible. He can handle it. Trust him. Look to him. Ask him. Follow him. And he will make a way where there seems to be no way. See, the children of Israel had a problem. A problem way too big than they could solve. Way too big for them to sort out. They had a wall. When Chris and I bought our first house, we had, in our first house, it had a pressure-treated fence. What we didn't know when we bought the house was that the guy that built the fence only put the posts in 1 foot into the ground. We also heard from a neighbor later that what happened was when they finished the fence, they had this idea that they better level off all the boards because they didn't do it as they went along. And so a guy took a circular saw, and he was going to cut the tops of the board, but he didn't use a chalk line. So as he walked around the boards and he stepped into a dip, he went like this. And we had a very decorative fence. It looked like rolling waves. And the first big wind that came blew the fence right down. Now, Jericho had a wall. This was a big wall. Actually, it was two walls. I need some of the kids to help me. Can some of the kids come over here to help me? I need at least six kids at least. Come over here. Stand right here. Right here? Perfect. So, that's good. Stand there. Stand beside each other. Okay, so this first wall was about 6 feet. So, you want to hold that there? Yeah, hold that there. Perfect. Okay, one, two. Anybody see six on there? Oh, six over here. Right there. Okay, all you guys got to fit between there and there. Come over. Squeeze in. Everybody squeeze in together. Okay. You can let that go there. Okay, you want to squeeze in there. Now, what I need you to do, I need you to hold that. Hold that. Perfect. Okay, right there. So the first wall was 6 feet. Then there was, don't go with me. There you go. Because the wall is going to seem shorter than it is. Okay, hold that. Oh, perfect. There you go. I need a counter. Where's the counter? Come over here, counter. Yeah, that's you. Come on. Perfect. Okay, we're looking for 10, this way more, this way more, this way more. We're going to step on you. Better move. Okay, there's 13. A little more, a little more, a little more. There's 14. A little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. 15, right here. Come over here. Stand right here. Okay, stand there. Perfect. So you're the first one. You can let go there, please. There you go. You can let go, too. Cool, eh? Okay, stand there. Now, everybody's got to get right over here. Everybody else here. Squeeze in, squeeze in, squeeze in. Perfect. Perfect. Squeeze in. Oh, now I'm going to need you to hold that again. Because the next part of the wall, hold that. Just smashed him in the head. There you go. It's okay. The wall's falling down on your head there. Okay, there we go. The next part of the wall was 12 feet. So the first wall was 6 feet. There's 15-foot gap in the middle, and then the next part of the wall was 12 feet long. You can let go of that. Stay right where you are. Okay, you can let go. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, 6 feet, 15-foot gap, 12 feet. Okay, now all kids, look up. Way up. See that really circle on the top there? See that circle right there? The walls of Jericho were almost twice as high as that. 30 feet high. Okay, you guys can sit down. Sit, wait, so you can sit down right there. Right there. So I'm going to need you again to help me later on. So this was no little wall. This was no little thing that they were facing. It was huge. No little wind was going to blow this wall over. It was massive. Even if an army broke through the first six-foot wall, what happened was they would get it trapped in the middle of this 15-foot and another wall. So you got in there. All of a sudden, now you're sitting targets for the army that was there. The children of Israel were thinking, I got to figure something out. How, what am I going to do? I got to get a plan. We got to strategize. You're trying to figure out how to defeat the wall. How are we going to get this? It was impossible. They didn't know what they're doing, but they were praying. And they asked God, what are we going to do? How are we going to break this doll? How are we going to wick? And then God gave them a plan. Okay, kids, you got to help me with this plan. Okay, you ready? Stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay, so this is God's plan. God, you know what God's plan was? Anybody know what God's plan was to get the, yes, what was God's plan? Walk around the wall. Well, there's not much room behind it, but let's walk in front of it. So the children of Israel walked around the wall. So let's walk around the wall or walk around in front. No, whoa, Rishon. No, you'll walk, you'll knock the wall over. Okay, go this way. It's like a castle, isn't it? Just walk around in front of it. Yeah, perfect. So just walk around. So what it is, God said, I want you to walk around the wall. And I want you to walk around the wall and not make any noise. Come back this way. Keep walking around. Keep walking around. Yeah, keep walking around. Walk around and around and around. So you walk around the wall, but I don't want you to talk. I don't want you to sing. I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to make plans. I don't want you to talk with each other. I just want you to walk around. Okay, turn around. Walk around again. Keep walking around. So what I want you to do is I want you to walk around the wall one day. Okay, then I want you, once one time. Then the second day, I want you to walk around the wall one time again. And the third day, walk around the wall one time. And the fourth day, walk around that wall one time. Then the fifth day, one time. The sixth day, one time. And then what he said, I want you to walk around the wall the seventh day, seven times. Walk around the wall seven times, around and around and around. And then after that, oh, they all went back to the other side. They all went back to the other side. Okay, now, just in case you're reading the story, there is a little Hollywood going on here, okay? Okay. They all walked back to the other side, and then a trumpet sounded. And everybody shouted. And then there was a quiet. And the wall came down. And you guys can all sit down. It says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted. And the trumpet sounded, and the men gave a loud shout. The wall collapsed, and everyone charged in, and they took the city. Score? God won. Enemy zero. God won, enemy zero. Kids, God wants you to be part of his army. He wants you to do great miracles. Be part of the miracle he's going to do. He wants you to break down walls. God promised them a beautiful and spacious land, and he gave them what he promised. They received it, and we can too. We can receive the promised. Maybe your family coming to Christ is what you've been praying for. Maybe it's healing you've been praying for, a job. Maybe it's guidance. Maybe it's protection. It's health of a marriage. It's to be set free from a bondage or an addiction. It says in Romans chapter 1, the second part of verse 17, just as is it written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's say that together. The righteous will live by faith. That's what God wants for us, to follow Jesus, to walk with him and his plan to tear down the walls, to break all the powers, to change the bondages that we're facing, to overcome every problem that we have, and to win victories. That's what God wants to do in our life even today. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. We thank you that you tore down the walls for the children of Israel. You gave them what you promised. And Lord Jesus, we're standing on the promises that you have given us. And we believe by faith, and we will walk by faith. We will step out in the waters, and that you are going to bring us through, that you are going to answer, that you are going to set us free. You will knock down every barrier in front of us in Jesus' name. And so, Lord Jesus, as we are here this morning, we come to you and we ask you, Lord, touch our lives, every one of us. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you heard me talk about God knocking down the walls and breaking the bondages and the chains in our lives. And you're here and you realize that you don't have that relationship with God, with Jesus, and you want one. You want him to set you free. If you're like that this morning, I would encourage you. I'd love to say a prayer with you. Just pray after me, a commitment to Jesus to break down the walls and barriers and forgive you of your sin in your life. Lord Jesus, I'm here now. I believe that you love me, that you died for me. And Lord, I want you to set me free right now. Forgive me for all the wrong, the sin. Come into my life that I may live for you forever. Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. If you said that prayer this morning with me, I want to congratulate you and welcome you into the family of God. There's lots of questions you're going to have and things you're going to want to know as you grow in him. And so we have a Bible with some information in it that we'd love to give to you. If you said that prayer with me, just quickly raise your hand and we'll make sure we get that to you right now. Is there anyone? Just quickly raise your hand. We'd love to say that prayer with you, even right now. Now, if you said that prayer, but you just feel shy to raise your hand, if you want to just go to the guest services table, you can get that Bible out there. As we talked about God being with us, walking with us, maybe you're here this morning and you have a need in your life. You've had a struggle. You've had a challenge or a situation. And you just need God to bring you through. I would encourage you, just in faith, step into the water and raise your hand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're here this morning and you have a problem, a challenge, a situation that you're facing right now at this moment, I encourage you just to raise your hand with heads bowed and eyes closed. We want to say a prayer with you and over you. I want you to, as your hand, keep your hands raised. If you're beside somebody with their hands raised, I want you in faith just to reach over, put your hand on their shoulder as we pray for them. Even right now, just in faith, do that. I believe God will reward that faith, even as he did when the children or the priest stepped into the water and he divided the water. He wants to divide your problem. He wants to give you victory. Lay your hands on them. Keep those hands raised. Lord Jesus, right now, we pray for each one of those people, each one of those needs, the things that are happening in their life, what's going on right now, the challenge they're facing. Lord, they need you to divide the water of their problem, of their situation, of the challenge that they're going through. Lord, that you would provide a way where there seems to be no way, that you would perform a miracle in Jesus' name. It will be done. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, right now to do this in your name. Amen.